In a fast-paced society that is continuously searching for truth, the Bible has the answers that will bring true joy and lasting satisfaction. We invite you to join us for Truth for Today with Dr. Neil Jackson. Dr. Jackson's verse-by-verse preaching will answer your deepest questions from God's holy word.
How committed are you to Scripture? How committed are you to dialoguing about Jesus every day of your life?
So open your Bible and your heart to hear Truth for Today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. I love the Gospel of John because it's all about Jesus. And today we see Jesus' heart for the world, how he is the good shepherd who seeks and saves those which are lost. So if today's sermon is a blessing to you, you can receive it with your generous donation. If you'd like to receive the entire series, request it, the Gospel of John, Volume 6, with your donation of $50 or more. Survey for every person in attendance, even for those up there in the cheap seats in the balcony. Do we have any twins in the house? If you're a twin, just raise your hand. Any twins? There's one. Any more up there in the balcony? No twins in that side of the balcony. Any twins up here? Okay, so we got a few. So twins, don't sit in the balcony. I like it. All right, anybody just have somebody, a brother or a sister, that they confuse as a twin? You just look an awful like your brother or sister. Just raise your hand. Anybody like that? A few. Look at these girls. These girls aren't twins, but they look an awful lot alike. Anybody else? All right, so last question. Is there anybody that's not related to you that looks a lot like you? Not related as far as by blood that you know, but you're kind of a look-alike. You resemble them. Anybody like that? I have a look-alike. Green back there. Anybody else? When I was down at Pensacola, the kids thought I looked like Nicolas Cage. I don't think so. And I never found a national treasure, so I'm no Nicolas Cage. But when we come to Mark chapter 15, what I want you to see today, we are Barabbas. And his story is our story. And what he experienced is what every one of us could experience. So three truths this morning from a guy on death row. Sermon I'm entitling, My Name is Barabbas. First truth I want you to see this morning, the sinfulness of Barabbas. And there was one named Barabbas. Bar means son. Abba means father. You remember Peter. He was called son Bar-Jonah. Bar means son. Jonah was his father, so he was the son of Jonah. So Simon Bar-Jonah was Simon, the son of Jonah. Now you remember Abba? Remember Jesus said he would cry out, Abba, Father? It was a term of endearment. It was a term of great love. And so Bible scholars tell us that it's very likely that Barabbas' father was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was a prophet, if you will. And so just because you are raised in a pastor's home and your daddy is a prophet or your daddy is a preacher does not mean that you are going to turn out right. Barabbas followed the footsteps of Absalom, greatly loved by his father, but he went away and did what was wrong and what was wicked. You remember Eli's son. Eli loved the Lord and honored the Lord, but his sons did that which was wicked, and they did not follow the Lord. That is the story of Barabbas. But what I want you to see a step further into this, Barabbas was an endearing name. He had a father who loved him. He had a father who cared a lot about him and named him such a name so that everyone would know he is loved and special to his father. In spite of all of that, being raised in a Christian home, a Jewish home, being raised with the love of a father, being raised with a good, strict environment, Barabbas did not turn out right. You say, what happened to Barabbas? Matthew 27, verse 16 tells us he was a notable prisoner. That means he was notorious. That means he was infamous. Everyone knew the name of Barabbas. He would have been akin to the Jesse James. He would have been akin to the Billy the Kids. He would have been like the Saddam Husseins. He would have been like the Osama bin Ladens. Barabbas was well known for the kind of person he was. He was wicked. He was mean. He was cruel. He was hated. No one was going to name their child Barabbas because he had ruined the name Barabbas. He was a notable, a notorious prisoner. John 18 verse 40 tells us, they cried again saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now notice what it says. Barabbas was a robber. If it was not nailed down, Barabbas would take it. Barabbas was a pickpocket. Barabbas was a thief. Barabbas would steal you things from you right in front of your eyes. And I don't know about you, but I can handle a lot of things. I cannot handle a thief. Tar him, feather him, string him up. That was Barabbas. Now look back at verse 7, Mark 15. One named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So insurrection, the country was under Roman rule. Barabbas was involved in this revolution. So he went from person to person. He went from neighborhood to neighborhood. He went from finding a rebel and trying to get them to overthrow the Roman government. So he was starting a civil war. So we have this notorious person, we have this thief, and he was trying to destroy the Roman government. He quite possibly was one of the zealots. But notice also it says, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So in the midst of trying to start a civil war, he had killed innocent people. This Barabbas was wicked. This Barabbas was sinful. This Barabbas was a menace to society. This Barabbas stood against everything that God taught in his word. He was a sinner. And friend, you are Barabbas, and I am Barabbas. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God, and none of us measure up to God's standards. Barabbas was caught. We will see. Barabbas was condemned, but understand, we are just like Barabbas. We're sinful people. We're wicked, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in God's eyes. Number one, the sinfulness of Barabbas. Secondly, notice the sentence of Barabbas. One named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him. When we are introduced to Barabbas in Scripture, he is condemned. He is sitting on death row awaiting execution. the crimes of insurrection and murder called for the death penalty. Because he had done this against the Roman government, it didn't mean he would just die. It means he would be crucified, the most vicious and cruel of deaths. The Romans in this time period, they would force those who were to be crucified to build their own cross. So I can see Barabbas, this wicked, evil, sinful man, building his cross, hewing out that wood that he realizes, I'm going to pay for my wrong. I'm going to pay for my crime with my life. I have to die on this cross that I am hewing out because I am a sinful and I am a wicked man. Folks, you and I are just like Barabbas. We are condemned. Barabbas was condemned for breaking the laws of the land. You and I are condemned for breaking the laws of the Lord. John chapter 3 verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already? We've already been judged. We've already been declared guilty. We're just waiting for our sentencing when we will be cast. And notice it says condemned. Biblical condemnation speaks of eternal punishment. It speaks of dying without God. It speaks of hell. Friend, listen to me. The greatest decision you will ever make, what will you do with Jesus? Because if we do not believe on Jesus, we're condemned already. We are just like Barabbas. We are wicked. We are sinful. We are sentenced to die. Our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are approximately 2,452 people on death row in the United States of America this morning. When I read that yesterday, my thought was, I wonder how many are sentenced to death spiritually in our world. There are approximately 6.7 billion people living on the planet Earth. How many of them are condemned already and are headed to hell? 6.7 billion. I'm certain it's more than million. A billion? 2 billion? 3 billion? 4 billion? Scripture says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that find it. Narrow is the way. If it's narrow, that means there has to be more going toward destruction than going toward heaven. 4 billion? 5 billion? Can you see Barabbas? He's hewing out his cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to pay for my crime. That's where all of us are. We are condemned already if we have not believed on the name of the Son of God. Verse 7, one named Barabbas, which laid bound with them that had made insurrection. The jail cells in this time period were nothing like our jail cells. There were rodents in their jail cells. When you walked into one of their jail cells, you would want to gag because the stench would be so horrible. Now notice, they are bound. All of the other people who were in this insurrection, they were bound and they were lying on the floor. And Barabbas' thought, as bad as this is, it's not going to be as bad as my crucifixion tomorrow. It's not going to be as bad as when they nail me to that old cross tomorrow. It's not going to be as bad as when they spit upon me. Oh, yes, this is bad. But what is coming for me is going to be much, 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 much worse. As bad as this world is, it's nothing compared to hell. Nothing whatsoever. Friend, the choice is, what will you do with the Lord Jesus. It's Jesus, only Jesus. Have you said, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe in your death. I believe in your burial. I believe in your resurrection. I'll follow you till the day I die. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as your Savior this very day. Barabbas, he was hopeless. Barabbas, he had to be an emotional wreck. We are on the radio every day down in a radio station in Laurinburg, North Carolina. Somewhere, and I'm not familiar with the geography and everything down there, but somewhere that radio station reaches a jail. And we get a lot of mail from these prisoners that tune in to us at 4:30 every morning. I wouldn't get up to listen to me at 4:30, but these guys in jail get up and listen to me 4:30, tell them about Jesus. We get a lot of mail every week from that particular prison down somewhere down close to Laurinburg. A couple weeks ago, we got a letter from a guy on death row. He says, I'm awaiting the death penalty. I have no hope. He said, but every morning at 4:30, I tune on to you in the radio, and you rescue me from this jail cell that I'm in, and you give me hope that there is a better tomorrow. Friend, all of us are in that situation. We are Barabbas. We are sinners, and we will die on an old rugged cross in hell because of our sin. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ. The sentence of Barabbas. Thirdly, I want you to notice the salvation of Barabbas. The sun goes down that evening. Barabbas says to himself, tomorrow I will die upon the cross that I constructed. Tomorrow they will nail my hands to that cross. And they will put me up, and they will drop that cross into that hole, and it will be a thud, and all of my bones will be disjointed for my crime. If I don't die in a certain time period, with it being Passover, they will come with that metal rod, and they will swing it. I can almost see it coming through the air, and they will break my bones in my leg so I can't keep pushing up to get air. I wonder if his mother came through that jail cell that day. Barabbas, you lived a wicked life. Barabbas, you did a lot of evil and insurrection. Barabbas, I'm your mother and I don't approve of your actions. But you will always be my child. And I love you, Barabbas. I wonder if he had a spouse. I wonder if he had children. I wonder if they came to old Barabbas. Daddy, we don't tell who our father is at school because we don't want them making fun of us. But Daddy, thank you for being our father and getting us into the world. I wonder if his own family came to see him. I can see Barabbas tossing and turning all night long, enjoying his last night of life in the midst of that jail cell and that filth and that smell. Finally, the light breaks through the window and he realizes this is the day. This is the day you will be executed. His pulse is up. His heart is thumping. He knows he has just a few hours live at best. And then he hears the footsteps of that soldier coming down the hallway. He can hear as they put that key into the lock and they turn it and the door swings open. There stands the soldier who would lead him away to execution. And he says, loose Barabbas. And the other guard comes and takes off his chains off of his hands, takes off of the chains off of his feet. And Barabbas walks to that jail cell. And the soldier says, "Barabbas, you are free." And I can see Barabbas looking at him. I'm sorry. What did you say? "Barabbas, you've been set free." I can see Barabbas, a smile come across his face. And that guard that he had cussed so bad, I can see, "I'm free. I'm free. You mean I don't have to die on that old rugged cross? You mean they're not going to nail my hands and feet to that cross? You mean I'm free? I can go home with my family, with my mother. I'm free." I can see him hugging. "Glory to God, guys, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." You say, "What happened?" Matthew 27 verse 15 says, "Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. It was the custom at Passover each year for the governor to release one prisoner. They would do this to gain favor with the Jews. So Pilate says, 'I will release the worst of the worst, the greatest, the meanest, the wickedest, the most evil, the most vile, the most terroristic person we have. I will release him, or I'll release the Lord Jesus Christ.' He takes it to the people. 'Who do you want? Jesus or the wicked, vile, evil, terrorist Barabbas?' And they chose Barabbas." Mark 15, look down at verse 9. Pilate answered them saying, "We will that I release unto you the king of the Jews." For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Folks, listen to this and don't miss it. Barabbas was set free because Jesus died in his place. Barabbas lived because Jesus died. Glory, hallelujah. That's my story. I was condemned. I was wicked. I was deserving the fires of hell for all of eternity. But Jesus says, no. I realize he deserves the cross, but let me die on his cross. Let me die in his place. Let me be his substitute. Barabbas got to go free because the Lord Jesus took his place. That's my story. Hey, I'm going to be in heaven not because of the goodness of Neil Jackson. I'm going to be in heaven for one reason and one reason only. Jesus took my place. Glory, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Glory, hallelujah, for the cross that was meant for me, that was meant for you, that Jesus took in our place. So what happened to Barabbas? How did he change his life? What did he go on and do since he had been rescued? Since he had been redeemed? Did his life change? You search the pages of Scripture and you'll find nothing else about Barabbas. It doesn't say. You go back and you read the historians, Josephus and some of the ancient historians. There's two possibilities. The first one, that is probably more likely, Barabbas went back to living the same way he lived before. Stealing, killing, robbing. And even though he had been redeemed, even though someone died in his place, he would eventually die being executed, judged for his actions all over again. You say, Jesus' sacrifice did no good for Barabbas. Here's what makes me want to shout. Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it from the foundation of the world. I love Barabbas. Barabbas is going to do a lot of wickedness. Barabbas is going to do a lot of evil. Barabbas is going to be the meanest and the vilest and the most cruel. I want to die for Barabbas because I love him. Glory, hallelujah for Jesus. Who will die? Who did die for the worst of sinners? So if you're here saying, oh, no, 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 I'm too bad. And I'm saying, oh, no, 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 you're just like Barabbas. You need a Savior. And Jesus already died for you. Just accept him. There are a couple historians that say this. Barabbas, after being released, was just intrigued by this man Jesus. So he followed in the crowd that day as Jesus carried his cross up Golgotha's hill. And when they laid down that cross and they laid Jesus on the cross, that Barabbas was back there in the crowd saying, those nails were meant for me. Jesus is taking my nails. And when they pulled that cross up and they dropped it into that hole, Jesus was there suffering. That there Barabbas fell on his knees and accepted and committed his life to Jesus and followed him till the day he died. Whatever the outcome is, it really doesn't matter. What matters is you. Jesus died for you. Jesus died in your place. Jesus paid for your sin. My question is, what are you going to do with the cross?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. Our prayer is that God's Word has ministered to your deepest need and answered many of your questions about life. Truth for Today is only able to broadcast on this station through the regular prayers and financial support of God's people. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner of Truth for Today? You may mail your gifts to Truth for Today, Post Office Box 104, Bennett, North Carolina, 27208. If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please request this sermon with your donation of any amount. If you would like to donate by credit card, you may call 336-581-3170. Be assured that God's Word has the answer for your every need. And join us next time for Truth for Today.